Greetings, welcome to The Dividing Line. It is a Thursday, 2021. It's passing us by very, very quickly. Sometimes it's hard to realize how much things have changed, how quickly they've changed, even in the past 10 months. It is amazing. Working on my last trip of the year right now, there are a couple of you on the road trip at aomin.org email list that are about to get contacted by me. There are three places, I think, where I'm looking at stopping and have looked at our map and gone, hey, look at that. There's one of them where there's two churches and the RV park is real close to one of them, but there's another one that's not all that much farther away. So I'll probably contact both of you and say, would you guys like to work together? How do you want to work things out? I'm trying, and as a result, this will be a, right now, if things work out the way I've got them laid out, 3-week trip. 3 weeks, I get back on my birthday. That's a long one. But the difference being, there's only one marathon day. And that's the marathon where I get across New Mexico. the masked zombie land. And other than that, trying to limit it to about 250 miles a pop. And so that will make things a little bit easier. But that also gives me a little more opportunity to get together with folks and arrange things. What? I haven't even started yet, and you're already interrupting me.
Well, I'm just kind of hoping we don't have to take out, you know, like a second, third, fifth, tenth mortgage on the ministry in order to pay for the gas.
It's true. That's true. We could be paying $5 a gallon. And when you get 10 miles to the gallon, yep, it's true. It's true. But in comparison, honestly, to the expenditures to do a lot of things that people do, it's still not that huge, relatively speaking. So, but yeah, if we're heading to St. Charles, as I have always headed to St. Charles, it seems, first weekend December, this will be year 21 there in St. Charles, which that's amazing. But hopefully let you know some other places along the way. And if you want to see us keep doing that kind of thing, then the travel page at aomin.org, travel, support us there. That's what it helps to do, is to feed that hungry ecotech engine. Though going east-west, well, it depends on the weather. You get a bad headwind, 8 miles to the gallon. Get a good tailwind, 13 miles to the gallon. Woo! It's a lot easier with the tailwind than a headwind or a sidewind, that's for sure. Anyway, working and putting all that together. For those of you who do frequently come visit us that first weekend in December, we're going to be at same church, same time, same schedule, and looking forward to seeing some of you folks. But hopefully we'll be able to also let you know about some other places on the way to and on the way back. Looks like I'll be in Amarillo on the way out at one point. And so hopefully get to see some of our friends there. And then on the way back, I haven't actually gotten back in touch with this one fellow, but you may be finding out about it. Maybe Lubbock, Texas. Big metropolitan Lubbock. I don't think I've ever been to Lubbock, come to think of it. It's sort of between the two routes. It's, you sort of got to go down or go up, depending on which direction you're going. But there's a KOA nearby. If there's a KOA... And some people have said, yeah, KOA is not all that fancy. So, look, they're pretty much the same. And I like pretty much the same. I like to be able to pull in. There's the electricity. There's the water. There's the sewer drop. And they've got little stores with some of those guys. I'm going to tell you, the guy in Santa Fe, he had just bought this place. He had worked for Southwest Airlines, I think, and now he owned a KOA. And man, they had some cool stuff, and it's terrible. But they do a great job knowing what the local thing is and stuff. And if you, like, I forgot to bring my cheese for my burrito or something like that, and they've got a little thing for that. So, hey, I like KOA. What can I say? They're clean, in, out, easy. I like it. What are you laughing at in there?
I was just going to say, I'm waiting for the meme that has at the bottom, does not cope well with change.
Does not go well with what?
Change.
Oh, I do not go well with change. No, who moved my cheese? Yeah.
Does not get along with change.
No. I like having, you know, it's when you're doing it all yourself, it's nice to have the same thing. It's just ease in, ease out. That's how it goes. So anyways, we're working on that. And we'll be getting in contact with those churches probably tomorrow or the next day to say, hey. Oh, okay. Let me, what does this say? Come on. Oh, Sunday. Okay. All right. Got some information there that just came in. It's going to be a busy, busy day. Where do we want to go first? Okay. I guess I need to start with this. This morning, I've got a completed reservation for the first stop there. Michael Fallon posted this morning. It's from the PCUSA. So you need to remember, the PCUSA has been in rebellion against God and in an utter state of apostasy for 100 years now. Sort of like the Walker denomination, sort of like, you know, the Walker Seminary, but no, these are for Presbyterians. And it was the PCUSA's waltz off into apostasy that engendered the rise of Westminster Seminary and all those neat, wonderful, fun historical facts. But the PCUSA, someone named Carolyn Winfrey Gillette. Now, what's amazing to me is this looks like any page out of a hymnal. Do you have that? Yeah, it looks like any page out of a hymnal. Okay, so it's got your, I mean, this is how, now, by the way, for Americans, you need to understand, this is not what hymnals look like overseas. You go to the UK and it's just words. You're supposed to know the tunes. And then you can fit those words to numerous different tunes, by the way, too. But we have, you know, so you can, and oh, by the way, for a lot of Americans today, this is called a piece of music. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people in a lot of churches have never even seen what a hymnal looks like. So maybe I'm dating myself badly at this point. But here is a, notice it's copyright 2021. Okay, so this is a modern day hymn coming to us from the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church, United States of America, which, as I said, way off on the left. And so here's the climate is changing, creation cries out. Your people face flooding and fire and drought. We see the great heat waves and storms at their worst. We pray for the poor, Lord, for they suffer first. We pray for the animals here in our midst who cannot defend their own right to exist. We pray for the mountains and forests and seas that bear the harsh footprint of our human greed. We thank you for people who treasure the earth, whose faith has long taught them its beauty and worth. We thank you as well for the children and youth who look to the future and speak out the truth. We thank you for leaders courageous and brave, who know that the earth is worth fighting to save, who care about justice and what they should do, who listen to science and work hard for you. You love this good earth and you sent us your son. May we love our neighbors. There's work to be done. May we by your spirit do all in our power to care for your earth in this critical hour. The climate is changing. Soon to be in your PCUSA hymnal. So, for those of you who don't think that there is a highly religious nature to all of this, there you go. This is a religion. It's a cult. Notice who listened to science. Yes. This is a form of syncretism, And you should know that term. Syncretism was one of the primary targets of the Hebrew prophets. The people of God had been given God's truth. They had had the revelation of God at Sinai. They had Moses. They had the law. They had the great miracles that God performed in the Exodus. They had the Passover. They had the tabernacle. The great syncretism was that people came to believe that they could join the worship of Yahweh with the local gods. And so you heard of the high places, right? The Asherim. I'm so glad I at least got to go to Israel once. Thank you, Emilio. I at least got to go to Israel once because I saw some of the high places and the groves and the places where you had this pagan worship. But then you try to put it together with the worship of Yahweh. And the prophets called the people to make a choice. You will either worship Yahweh or you worship the gods of the peoples. You cannot do both. And once it's obvious that the only reason that the people would seek a syncretistic form of worship is because they did not think that the worship of Yahweh was enough. Their hearts had not been changed. Their hearts had not been circumcised. They were not true believers. They're not regenerate. And so today, the only reason that you would have syncretism within Christianity, the exact same reason, is that you have people who have a dead formal religion that they call Christianity, but they've denied the power of it for a long time. PCUSA gave up on the inspiration of Scripture and any meaningful understanding whatsoever of certainly Reformed theology. Oh my goodness. A long time ago. Now, not to say that there weren't people who tried to fight the fight. When I debated Barry Lynn, the church that we did the debate at was a PCUSA church. They were trying to fight homosexuality. They lost. And so here you have syncretism. You have the religion of scientism. We were being told to follow the science. If you happen to know something about science and realize that what you're being told actually isn't science, then you will be silenced and you will be called a conspiracy theorist. And people will send you tinfoil hats and things like that. I had people just yesterday in social media, you know, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You don't know nothing. And that was at the same time. And I was going to have this queued up. Okay, that's the one thing I forgot to queue up. But most of you saw it. I'll do that one next. So let me just put a period mark on this. The religious aspect of this syncretistic, let's join in the culture of death. You've got rainbow flags, part of the culture of death. You got support of abortion, part of the culture of death. All of these things where God is no longer the origin and source of human life. These are massively religious in nature. Massively religious in nature. There's no way around it. And man is made in the image of God. Man will worship. And man will either worship the one true God or man will worship a lie. And when God turns a people over, in the past 24 hours, we have had a Twix commercial with a little boy in a princess dress with a goth witch nanny using occult powers to punish people for pointing out he's a boy and not a girl. We have had a Doritos commercial. And despite my informing Rich of this, he ate Doritos today. I don't even know how anybody can do that. But
I bought those weeks ago.
Doesn't matter. A Doritos commercial connected to the occultic week and the Night of the Dead and all the rest of this stuff, especially in Hispanic cultures with the spirits and all that kind of stuff. And someone coming back who's gay and comes back with his partner, and it's called a miracle. And the whole thing is to promote the idea that we need to be, you know, you need to be inclusive and accepting and all that stuff. And then this morning we have the homecoming queen, who's a guy. You know, that would not have happened at my high school. Okay, we just had our 40th reunion. That would not have happened at our high school. No, no, not. I was gonna say. In fact, I was thinking about saying, "Welcome to the Dividing Line," along with Rich Pierce, the most famous French person from his neighborhood in Prescott. And in fact, no one in Prescott in his neighborhood knew there was a place called France. So that makes him all the more famous. So yeah, definitely would not have gone over in Prescott in your day either. But there's three examples in 24 hours of the absolute celebration of perversity and the culture of death. Complete celebration. And you look at the speed and you look at the openness. But you have to realize it's all a part of the culture of death. Each one of those things is celebrating that which does not give life. Jesus said, "I came that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly." These people are being promised abundant life and getting abundant death. That's what happens when you see the light of the empty tomb. Okay, right there. Empty tomb. That's why it's up there, by the way. You see the light of the empty tomb and you run the other way. That's where life comes from. If you run the other way, that's where death comes from. And that's what we're facing. That's what we're facing. It's just absolutely and utterly astonishing. So all of this, you cannot even debate any longer. You could not get a job in a major research university today unless you buy into the science, which means you buy into what everyone's supposed to believe, whether the facts support it or not. So, man-made climate change, the entire evolutionary theory, all of it, you buy it or you do not get a job. That's all there is to it. So to call that science, that's not science. Science is always open to debate. You can always present the facts. But today, you try to present the facts on so many things. How many people pointed out that the alleged 4-star admiral, first female, is not a female? He's an ugly old dude. Banned from Twitter. We could get kicked off YouTube for that. I get it. But it's a fact. It's reality. Anybody who lives in the real world knows that's a man. My grandchildren know that's a man. Anyone with common sense knows that's a man wearing a wig and a woman's dress. Or maybe he's grown his hair out. I don't know. But those are the facts, but you're not allowed to talk about the facts anymore. You can't speak about facts. And the evidence of the cowardice of the totalitarian regime is you just simply silence facts rather than refute them. Refutation takes work. Refutation takes a grounding in truth. And our world just doesn't even care anymore to even try to come up with things like that. So there you go. Even the content of the hymn is a bold-faced lie, and that's what you're stuck with. So what I was going to say, and got Sorry. Looked over and Squirrel said, Doc's dramatic reading of this PCUSA hymn is destined to become a classic. Well, what would have been better, and I realize it would have been better, but I don't play piano, would be to have actually sung the hymn. Because there's music. I could have had somebody to... I'm not asking you to sing it. Why couldn't I sing it? No one should sing it. But that would have made it even more classic. It should have. We should... Hey, you know what? O'Fallon, his bachelor's is in music. What do you think, Mike? Come on, Mike. You know you wanted to. You know as soon as you saw it, you started looking at the notes, started going, no, 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 no.
I don't think you could even get Milo Hotzenbuehler to sing that. How about that?
You gotta laugh once in a while, or the blood pressure will eventually get you. You know, that's just all there is to it. Oh goodness. Okay, so what I was going to mention was if you haven't figured out that the FDA and the CDC and all these groups are just completely corrupted, sold out, bought, purchased, paid for. They have wrapped them in the most pretty leftist totalitarian paper ever, and there is a communist bow sitting on top. It is done. There is no reason to trust a word these people have to say. I mean, they have so demonstrated the fact they've completely sold out. When the CDC is telling you one thing about COVID, and they've told you 47 different things about it in the past, at the same time that they're saying that misgendering transgender people is a public health issue, it's all the information you need. But now the FDA, which approved a drug that doesn't exist, by the way, I hope you realize that. Everybody says the Pfizer thing is FDA approved. No, it's not. What was approved was a application for a drug that they have not produced yet. And it specifically says in the documentation that this does not include what people have been being jabbed with. So anyway, but they did that approval without almost any of the safeguards that are normative. And all you got to do, you go back 2019. We played it for you. Go back 2019, the C-SPAN 2 video, keep those things, stick them on jump drives, put them inside static bags, okay? Because there you had a group of people, including Anthony Fauci, and Fauci himself, he was lamenting how long it takes to get new vaccine technology approved. It would take a decade. Because that's what safety requires. Well, he found a way around it, didn't he? Yeah, he certainly did. And so the FDA's thing, they didn't have public comment. They required certain data sets 5 or 10 years down the road. Isn't that wonderful? Again, if you can try to push yourself back to 2019, back before the insanity became widely infective, and go, would anybody have put up with any of this back then? The answer is a clear nope. Never would have. But here we are. So, as you heard, an FDA advisory panel voted 17-0 to approve these experimental genetic therapies for children between 5 and 11 years of age. These are children who are under no danger from COVID. There is far more danger for these children of getting hit by cars, falling off bikes, car accidents, and numerous other diseases than there is from COVID. They are in no danger. We have zero, nada, no long-term safety studies as to the impact of these genetic therapies upon developing human beings. Shoving these things into the arms of 5 to 11-year-olds is a crime on the level of what the Nazis were doing in Auschwitz. No question about it. And it's happening right under our noses. Right in front of us. Right in front of us. It is irresponsible. It is evil. And it's driven by money and power and nothing more. There is no reason to do it. And yet they're doing it. Right in front of us. Right in front of us. And we're supposed to applaud and go, thank you, thank you. Can we have some more, please? But did you hear the video? That I'm sorry I didn't get it queued up. Oh, I saved it somewhere. Or at least I saved a link to it. One of the 17 was being interviewed. And he literally said, we have to start giving the vaccine before we can find out whether it's safe or not. Now, immediately, most of us are sitting there going, oh, so we have to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill. Okay, we already got the Pelosi stuff on that. And I'm sure that's what's happening as they're trying to cram through the trillions and trillions of dollars of, and you realize this spending bill, it's trillions of, it is the finishing nail in the debt coffin of the economy of the United States, sold out to the Chinese communists, that will enslave us and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren forever. And all that money is going to leftist causes. I mean, the people who want to be promoting all this perversity and Planned Parenthood and just a cut. It is trillions of dollars being handed to the culture of death. That's what it is. That's all it is. And there and these folks do not care that it's the end of the Republic. That's what they want in the first place. I seem to remember at least a few people back in 2019 and early 2020 trying to tell everybody, this will be the last free election you get. These people intend it. And evidently enough people voted. Well, I don't even know that. I don't think a majority of people voted. No one will ever convince me that 80 million people voted for the vacuous man who doesn't know what day of the week it is. Just don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I know a lot of other folks don't believe it either. There's good reason to. But can you imagine in 2019 someone coming along and saying, well, we've got this stuff that we want to make your child's entire future dependent upon putting this in their bloodstream. And we have no long-term tests. It's genetic. And forms of this kind of stuff back 2014 and stuff, we had to stop using it because all the animal subjects died. But we're doing this. We're going to tell you it's for the safety of grandma. Okay. Which we don't really care about grandma at all, but we're going to tell you it's for the safety of grandma so that your mind will just accept that and move on. We don't know what it's going to do to the kids, and we don't care because actually most of us think we should have half as many humans living on the planet as are living on it right now. Anyways, so if something really, really, really bad happens, that just sort of fits into the whole process anyhow. But we're going to—it's part of an entire identity scheme where—and again, they were talking about this years ago, where we're going to use immunization— as our way of tracking everyone rather than birth certificates. All that stuff can be faked. We're going to do this digitally. And this is going to be part of your digital ID in the new digital world. And so we'll always, that's going to be your way of identification in the future. But we have to give it to the kids to find out if it's safe first. What would have happened to that person in 2019? People have thought the person was nuts. But only 2 years later, 2021, the media has been so compromised and the populace has been so compromised that someone can literally sit there and say, we won't know if it's safe until we start poking it into your kids' shoulders. Oh, really? You expect us to just hand our children over to you that way? Well, it is their intention to force you to do so. It is now, this is going to result in an even greater jump in homeschooling, obviously, because you know what's coming. Your child will not be allowed to go to public school without this. But we've done that with all sorts of other vaccines. Not like this one. Not like this one. Whenever I hear people do that, I just look at them in the eye and go, you're either stupid or you're dishonest. One of the two. You're either stupid or dishonest. You either are not watching, not paying attention. Maybe as soon as you start hearing about mRNA and spike proteins and stuff like that, your eyes glaze over and you go, I didn't do too well in biology class anyways, so I'm just not going to worry about that. I don't know. But there has never been a time when we have been asked to inject this kind of material into our bodies. Never. Never. It is unique. Absolutely unique. So don't even pretend to try to draw the parallel. Such a doctor would have been... yes. Yep. Yeah, sure. I can't hear.
But we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes. But we're never going to...
Yeah, we're never going to... find out about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. Yay! That, my friends, is science. No, that's idiocy. That's not science. That's not medicine. That is someone who is owned by the billions of dollars that has flown into big pharma and big tech over the past 18 months, coming up on 24 months. Own, lock, stock, barrel, soul, and mind. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. There you go. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Purchased. Got the sales receipt. Put a stamp right here. Bought and paid for. I don't trust those people, nor should anyone else. Nor should anyone else. That is disgusting. That is irresponsible on a level that is beyond commentary. Truly is. Truly is. Yes, sir? Oh, okay. You're just looking so... what? No. It just looked like you wanted to jump in on that and say something. Thank you for finding it. I had it somewhere. But anyway. So let's do one other. You probably saw the TGC article from the attorney saying do not claim religious exemptions. I saw some guy actually saying that pro-life means pro-vaccine. That was a bunch of babbling nonsense that you couldn't even interact with it. There wasn't enough rationality in the words to even grab hold of something to go, no, but that's not connected. What are you talking about? There was stuff like that. Not surprised, the TGC stuff. It's just so sad to see all of that and where that's gone. But there is one element of truth. You always have to mix elements of truth in to get someone to listen to you. The element of truth in the TGC article was that a religious exemption has to have some kind of serious theological and historical foundation. And of course, the historical foundation has to be connected to the theological foundation. And that's where a lot of Christians are weak. Let's just be honest. Not only, I mean, if you don't have as part of your belief the reality that Christ has authority over human authorities, then what are you doing applying for a religious exemption? Because that's out in Caesar's realm, not in Jesus' realm. Your arm is in Caesar's realm. Unless Caesar is under Jesus. But that leads to all sorts of other complications that a lot of people just, their theology or their eschatology or something goes, nope, tilt, can't go there. And that's an issue. I think if you've read paper I quickly wrote on the subject last month, you'll see how that's important. There is a article that came out on, I believe, the 26th. Yes, 26th. So 2 days ago. 2 days ago, titled, "The Spike Protein of SARS-CoV-2 Variant A.30 is Heavily Mutated and Evades Vaccine-Induced Antibodies with High Efficiency." Now, as soon as I posted this, I posted this on the 26th, so it was the same day it came out. Someone posted, some doctor somewhere, don't know anything about the guy, saying, oh, that variant is extinct. It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter if it is or isn't. This is part of the problem that people need, that if you want to understand some of the science, you need to recognize at least some of the terminology that's being used. The vaccines we currently possess are highly targeted. They are narrowly targeted. They are specifically designed based upon a small protein section of the spike protein on the virus itself. That's what they attach to. That's what they are looking for. They're coding antibodies for that. Now, we've never done this before. We have never tried in the history of mankind to deal with a respiratory virus, which means it is a virus that is highly able to communicate between people. And in this case, very much focuses upon the respiratory system, especially as one of its primary means of entrance. We've never tried to treat this simply with a vaccine. And if you had asked the vast majority of doctors who didn't have dollar signs in their eyes or job security in their eyes, whether that was the wise thing to do in 2019, 99.9% would have said no. But that's what we're doing. And that's why you can't get ivermectin in certain places. You can't get anything that would help because it's vaccine or nothing. That should tell you if you're not just already completely evacuated between here and here, that there's something more going on here. And it's not medicine. It's not science. That in the past, you used all available methods, including treatment methods. And you would encourage things that have positive impacts. But oh no, can't do ivermectin, can't do that vitamin D3 stuff. Nope. It's got to be this stuff that will bring us billions and billions of dollars and change the whole world. And yet so many of you, just I've been talking with you on Twitter, you're just like, I don't see that. Everything's fine. Anyway, so the point is that we are introducing these vaccines, there have been billions of doses given already. Billions. Now, biologically, this produces something called selection pressure. And you may have heard that type of terminology used in evolutionary biology, which you need to recognize. Natural selection is real. It happens. But you need to know what natural selection is. When within the created mechanism of mankind and animals and life all over the earth, there is the ability built into the genetic system to have multiple traits in a population. So that when a pressure comes against a population, that it doesn't just immediately result in the wiping out of the species. That the species can adapt. The traits are already there. They may be repressed. They may be sub-traits, recessive traits is what they're called. But it's already there. And life will select that life which can survive in the new situation. That is predicted within the creation model. It's not really predicted within the evolutionary model, or at least the mechanisms to bring it about. Don't have time to go into that right now, but there's lots of stuff out there if you want to read various people. Various good sources. The point is this. The virus is a living creature. And if you all of a sudden chunk out billions of doses of mRNA vaccine that are intended to produce for at least a little while, not for very long, we're discovering. I remember back when they first started giving them. So do you think this will be lifelong? And now we're talking months. Months before you have to get the next one. And then the next one. I know people have already gotten four. I do. Don't know how they did that, but they've already gotten four. The point is, we're cranking out antibodies, and they all... It's like they're walking... These antibodies are walking through your body, and they have a rifle scope up to their eye, and it's zoomed all the way in, and it can only see one little tiny narrow spectrum of things. Can't see anything else. It can only see one little part on that virus. Natural antibodies that you get from actually having had the disease and fought it off. Oh, you're so proud of that. I remember what you looked like, okay? All right? Unclean. That's exactly right. I'm still really interested. I would love to have an antibody test. I've been exposed to this stuff so many times, and I've never even had a sniffle. I'll bet you I've got absolutely the most awesome set of antibodies ever, because I've ridden, since COVID started, I've ridden about 16,000 miles on my bike. So I think... I don't know that that's really a helpful statistic for anyone else, but hey, that's certainly one aspect the medical community does not care about, is it? Oh, and I've been, no masking, no social distancing, shaking hands, and I haven't gotten it? Not, I don't think so. But anyway, you're distracting me. All right, so. Real antibodies don't just see that one little part of the spike protein. They see the whole thing, and they see the shell. And so there's much more that they are triggered by. But the antibodies produced by the immunization, narrow, tiny. So guess what's happening? The SARS-CoV variant A.30 has changed that portion of the spike protein. That portion of the spike protein is now different. So it evades the vaccines. Isn't that what you'd expect? And so have you heard? Did you hear Fauci last week? Fauci lied through his teeth, and he will never defend this against anyone who knows anything about this field. He will never let himself be put in a situation to have to defend this. But to Who is the chick that was on ABC for years? No, NBC for years. She went from there to CBS, to ABC. Katie Couric. Perky Katie Couric. Couric was... And let's not say interviewing. Nobody interviews Fauci. They just sort of ask the questions they're supposed to ask and then say, oh, gosh, you're awesome. It's disgusting. Anyway, Katie Couric had Fauci on. And did you hear what Fauci said? He said the unvaccinated are the ones giving rise to these variants. That is a lie. Absolute 1,000% lie. And that can be proven in any court of law. I mean, that is absurdity. What? Where is the selection pressure in the unvaccinated? Huh? Why would you be having genetic changes in a spike protein coming from the unvaccinated? That is just demonstrates beyond all question. All the changes he's had in the private emails and the money and the Wuhan lab and all the rest of that stuff, that's all proven it too. But there is one indisputable reality right there. A, he doesn't know that, and B, everything in science would tell him just the opposite. And he knows that. He knows that. The man is compromised beyond belief. Beyond belief. So these narrow spectrum, leaky genetic therapies are the things that are driving these variants. And you're going to be looking at, probably, by the time they get done, three times a year, maybe four times a year, injections. And then what's going to have to happen if we stick with the, we're only doing vaccines, we're not doing anything else, we're not going to encourage you to actually get rid of the comorbidities that are actually killing people, and we're not going to talk to you about diet and any of the rest of that stuff. Nope. We're just doing vaccines because this is how we intend to control you anyways. But if that's the direction they keep going, then every few boosters, treatments, isn't that, what was the term they used in This Perfect Day? I forget what it was, treatment, something like that. Every few, they will have to change it, which means you will never, ever, 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 ever have long-term safety data. Not, you'll never have it. Just stop asking for it. Who do you think you are that you deserve long-term safety data? Roll up your sleeve. Your body is ours. Which is what these people think. Because I want you to just step back, look at the world. Look at the world and ask yourself a question. Did you know that by 2030, it will be illegal to sell an internal combustion engine in the state of California? If you don't have a car, if you don't have access to that kind of transportation, then you are dependent upon the government for transportation. And they control that. And if you have to show your papers, and we all know how that works now, then the government can determine where you go, when you go, how far you go. It's already happening in Australia, by the way. We're already seeing this. We are going to be told what we can eat. We're going to be doing our veggie burgers provided by Bill Gates. I'm really looking forward to Windows 11 veggie burgers. I'll bet you that's going to taste just great. You're going to be told what you can eat. You're going to be told when you have to take your doses. From the government doses, how many weeks, how many days, who knows what it'll be. We already know what you have to celebrate and what you can't celebrate, what you can say and cannot say, what you can think and cannot think. Folks, where you can work and cannot work, how much money you can have, what jobs you can go into, what fields you can go into. All of these things. So I ask you a simple question. What do you call a person who can only go where they're told to do, go when they're told to go, to do what they're told to do. They have no control of their future, no control over even their diet, what they wear, their education. What do you call that person? They're called a slave. They're called a slave. And when you turn your back on the truth, as this nation has, slavery is a just punishment. And that's where we're headed. Unless God in his mercy, because that's the only thing that's going to do anything. God in his mercy wakes people up. Because once you wake up, all of you who are sitting out there going, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to realize you're a slave. And you're going to realize the time to have stopped your slavery is long gone. Long, long gone. That's all there is to it. You know what? I've got old Layton over here all queued up. And man, I spent half an hour trying to get the video back. The video window just disappeared out of this. I finally found a way to get it back, but it was a challenge. I was going to get to it, but looking at the clock, we'd only get 9 minutes in. Got some other things I got to do this afternoon. So I'll just look at these two things real quick. John Pavlovitz put out an article. Does not surprise me at all. We've seen this type of article over and over again. Have we made the Bible into an idol? And it is your... Well, let me just give you a line here. We believe that the fixed words the Bible are, as it says, living and active, but do we believe that God is not? The only religious worldview that makes the Bible the last and only word is that of a God who is no longer living. So, if your understanding of sola scriptura and tota scriptura is not deep and passionate, it is liable to being undercut by this kind of material. It's all over out there. You need to be aware that it's out there. You need to think it through. They will always, always use a tremendous amount of truth to promote just enough of a lie to destroy your faith. That's what these folks are all about. And I've seen this for years and years and years. That's what we try to help lay the foundation, encourage you in those ways. Pastors, you have got to make it a part of your regular presentation to increase your flocks, not only understanding the word, but their understanding of why the word is sufficient. The beauty of that collection of divine words, 1,500 years, 40 different authors, the unity that it has, and yet its great diversity of expression, so that the highest Psalms and the lowest dark periods of Judges are all a part of the same revelation. Sometimes we just sort of take it for granted and hope that God will get that in there. We need to emphasize it all the more. I say it to all my fellow pastors in that way. Finally, last thing. Last week, let's see what's the day on this, 24th. I don't know if anyone bothered to take the time, because it is a lexicon of woke language, and which means it means next to nothing. But I grabbed the fact sheet, the National Strategy on Gender Equity and Equality. The Biden-Harris regime issues first ever national gender strategy to advance the full participation of all people, including women and girls, in the United States and around the world. What are women and girls? You know, what are women and girls? What is there such a thing? I mean, aren't you being rather narrow there? President Biden and Vice President Harris, who don't seem to, have you noticed they don't do almost anything anymore? Someone actually put out a graph that showed all the appearances of them together, and it's just been almost like a straight line. And all the inside information is that there's not a lot of love lost there. And a lot of people have said from the start, they're just waiting for 2 years. And then Joe's all of a sudden going to get lost because Joe always is always lost. Joe's going to finally wander off the stage, as he does many times, going like this. Do you see that? He froze. I honestly believe the man, they drug him, they put drugs into him to make him able to go out and be cognizant for a little while. But did you see him freeze like this? People don't do that. There's something really, really wrong there. What?
Did you see the video of him talking in New Jersey at the plant in New Jersey? The camera accidentally panned the crowd a little too far, and you saw the jumbotron that is his script. He's reading letters that are like 12 inches tall. It was huge. And as soon as you saw it out of the corner of your eye, they cut away from it.
If there was ever to be a history written, it would be a fascinating one. There will be in eternity, but I'm not sure in time. Anyway, President Biden and Vice President Harris believe that advancing gender equity and equality is fundamental to every individual's economic security, safety, health, and ability to exercise their most basic rights. It is also essential to economic growth and development, democracy and political stability, and the security of nations across the globe. Ensuring that all people, regardless of gender, have the opportunity to realize their full potential is therefore both a moral and strategic imperative. I really hope that especially our audience has come to recognize words that are strung together that have no meaningful connection to reality. And that is the majority of political discourse in the world today. Especially when you see equity and equality being crammed together without any recognition of how the use of those terms is actually in utter contradiction to the other. The uselessness of any type of Marxist understanding of any of this stuff, which is where these people are coming from. But there is even a, look at this, yet no country in the world has achieved gender equality, and we are at an inflection point. The COVID-19 pandemic has fueled a health crisis, an economic crisis, and a caregiving crisis that have magnified challenges that women and girls, especially women and girls of color, have long faced. It has also exacerbated a shadow pandemic of gender-based violence in the United States and around the world. Remember, for these folks, what I said about the guy in the dress is violence. So if you say that is a biological male who is lying about his identity, that's violence. So that's what this shadow pandemic of gender-based violence is. Now, it's not the transgender boys raping the biological girls in bathrooms, in prisons, schools, and every place else where this insanity has taken over. It's not that. That's not violence. That doesn't even need to be reported on. But if you misgender somebody, that's violence, and the entire effort of the United States government needs to be put into full operation to avoid that kind of violence. That's what happens to a people who've been given over. Have been given over. Truly given over. Well, anyways, like I said, I'll keep Leighton queued up. We do need to finish up that. We didn't finish it on the last Radio Free Geneva. There were five or six points, somewhat repetitive, but we'll still get to them. Want to make sure that people understand. And I guess I should have done it today because we are coming up on Reformation Sunday. So just a reminder that Luther would have looked at Leighton and gone, what? What? What are you saying? Your view of grace? What? That's what would have happened. So anyways, we will talk more about that next time around. Thanks for watching again, especially after everything I said today. We'll see if we're back again. We have theories as to why this is, but till then, I'm just going to thank the Lord that we still have the opportunity to meet with you, trying to speak the truth and encourage you. We'll see you here or someplace else next time around. God bless.